Hi, this is Jeff Siegel, the wine curmudgeon. My guest today is a longtime friend, the owner of a really fascinating wine shop, as we were laughing, at the legendary independent artisan boutique wine shop in Fort Worth near the TCU campus, Chris Keel. Chris, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
So, Chris, we want to talk about a bunch of different things today. I've been talking to a lot of retailers on the blog, doing podcasts about what business has been like the last 18 months, last 24 months, I guess, getting pretty close to it now. And I know you're in a unique situation, given your location, given the kind of store you have. It's not real big. Truly, I hate the word curated, but you come pretty close to one of the most curated selections I've ever seen. Can you give me a thought about what business has been like during the pandemic and how you guys dealt with everything?
We definitely shifted from, more people coming, or now less people coming in. Because before we were doing tastings on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights, where now we haven't had a tasting since mid-March of last year. So not doing that. We were focusing a lot of special orders. We've done curbside, of course. We're still doing that. And we've adapted, and we started doing deliveries twice a week, pretty much within 10, 15 miles of the store in Fort Worth. So we kind of go all over just to get wine into people's glass.
That's got to be, especially for a small operation like you, because it's just you and your wife, Deidre, and you said an employee. How do you guys manage to do delivery?
At first, some friends were really bored and wanted to jump on, and they helped out. I called them my wine fairies, because they were everywhere. I would put down where to go and what path, and they would take off and they would knock it out, and they were just wanted to do it. They wanted to help out. And at that time we were probably doing 10 to 15 each day. Now I'm down to, we still probably have about 5 to 15 every week. It goes up and down. The people that are getting home deliveries seem like they're all synced together, and they're all like every 2 weeks I have a lot. And then like this week will be quiet. Last week was crazy. So just a matter of juggling. It seems normal. That's what I've done. We're so small. We adapt quickly, and it's just chaos is normal.
Well, I know that's true, because I know I've been to the shop many times over the years. God, you've been there since 2006. 2006, Jeff, look at the microphone. We were laughing. I can't believe you've been that long. I've been in the store. You've got a very loyal, it's always has struck me, a very loyal client base, very loyal customer base. Have they been particularly helpful during all this?
Oh, yeah. Especially the word of mouth, especially when we kicked off the deliveries or even curbside, people were like, I don't feel like comfortable going in. I don't want them picking out the wine. So people would email me and like, hey, I want a case of Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. I'll pick out your favorites, this price point. So we picked up a lot of new customers just off word of mouth and just people trusting us to pick out something that they say they like. Kendall Jackson Chardonnay. Well, I don't carry that because we're more boutique family owned wines. Not that Kendall Jackson isn't family owned, but smaller production, like Matchbook is very comparable. So we lean them toward that. And now they're fans of Matchbook or whichever other smaller produced wine.
So that segues very nicely into my next question, which is, what are people buying? Are they still spending the same amount of money? Have you seen it fluctuate? Are they trying different things? I've gotten completely different answers from retailers across the country when I ask that question.
At first, when everything was so hard to get, people were just like, I want half a case of white, half a case of red. I'm ready to explore. It was like, whatever really you have in this price point, we'll try. Price points have stayed about the same. Right now, still red blends are very popular, white and reds. My store, we've been selling a lot more of Italian wine. July, I became a wine ambassador through Vin Italy, through their Vin Italy Wine Academy. So with that knowledge, I've even I've expanded up, brought in 20 new Italian wines, and I started an Italian wine club last month that more than I imagine people jumped on that. So definitely Italians are hot in my store right now. That's kind of, I mean, I'm biased toward that right now. So, but people are willing to try, expand. Just, I mean, it's crazy how people trust me. My wife still thinks it's crazy. Like people are like, they really just trust you to come in and pick a bottle of wine for them. I'm like, yeah, I mean, so.
Now I'm gonna pay you a compliment here, Chris. You've got a tremendous palate, and we've always, Chris and I have always joked about this. Is you're from Wichita Falls, right? If I recall correctly.
College there, grew up in Graham, South.
Okay, and so hardly wine country, even in Texas, and
a dry county.
I drive down to see, you're kind of like me, you're kind of self-taught, and that you've gotten to this point where people trust you, I think speaks a lot to the effort that you guys have put into it, and particularly to the store, which I've always liked. You've always had really nice selection. You've also always focused on less expensive wines. Did the tariff make a big difference? Because I don't remember you having that much Italian in the past.
The tariff, I don't think affected Italy.
Right, no, that's what I mean. So
yeah, the French for sure. I mean, my especially Bordeaux definitely took a hit. It was hard to find a value Bordeaux, and I mean, because everybody jumped. I mean, you know, Dell with Nose Imports. I mean, he's to me the king of great value Bordeaux, and all his were gone within like 3 months. I mean, so we've all been still looking for Dell to land a big container to get some Bordeaux back in the market. But yeah, it's just working with the smaller producers and distributors and seeing what they have available and just going from there and trying to find those value wines. I find more values now in France, Spain, definitely Italy, because I taste more Italian wines now. But yeah, we've never, I mean, Italian, I always loved Italian wines. I just never really, I didn't know there was that much support for that in our market. In Fort Worth, we're starting to, I think we're supposed to get within the next year, 3 or 4 fine dining Italian restaurants too. So I think that'll help keep the momentum going for Italian wine in Fort Worth.
Yeah, no, it's the Fort Worth is a fascinating wine market because from the years that I wrote the wine column at the Star Telegram newspaper, and a lot of stuff in it. There were a couple of pretty good retailers, not a tremendous amount of interest in anything other than the classics. And you guys have really stepped in and filled a niche there, huh?
I believe so. I mean, people are still, I mean, you still got your core Cabernet and California Chardonnay drinkers, but there are people that are willing to experiment with, I don't know. Barbera was a big seller during pandemic. People were not necessarily tired of Pinot Noir, but wanted still something to expand their palate and not as heavy as Cab. So we sold a lot of Barbera last year. So
you're in an interesting location too. It's not a typical retail spot, and you're pretty near the TCU campus. Now I know the couple of times that I've been in there over the years, your audience seemed to be your customer base seemed to be the fairly typical wine drinker. Have you, and because this is a big problem for the wine business, is that we somehow can't attract younger wine drinkers. Are you able to bring them in to the younger people come in and try something? What do you do? And if they do, how do you keep them there? And what advice do you have for the rest of the wine business?
Well, I mean, pre-COVID, we were getting a lot of the senior and grad students from TCU just coming in on like a Friday night looking for a bottle of wine. And then we would tell them about our tastings and they would stay. And then I started getting kind of a big group, but maybe 10 or 12 of them come in and we'd go through a flight and they'd ask a bunch of questions. And I mean, I thought we had some momentum going there. And then, I mean, the world shut down. So, and then they probably graduated by now. So the momentum, I mean, so there's a few that come in. I mean, because we're kind of off the, I mean, we're 3 or 4 blocks from TCU, but there's some kids that live in the area. There they come by and we talk wine, and some that are know what their parents raised them on, and they like to stick with that. And some of them like to go to Spain or somewhere that they traveled with their parents. They would, it's a hard to find that niche, because there's, you've got to be right on top of it, or I mean, most of them are drinking cheap beer and whatever. So
yeah, boy, we've been trying to wean them off of cheap beer for a long time with little success, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I was there too. So.
You and me both, pal. You and me both. As I always like to tell the story, I'm old enough. I remember when buying a woman a Löwenbräu was a big deal.
Nice.
So let's talk value a little bit here. Have you seen some stuff that you recommend less than $15? I know that's kind of what you just, one of the things you do a very good job on that you can recommend to the people listening.
One of our best sellers is down in the Rhone Valley, Gonet. I've got his Côte de Rhone. His family started the winery. And then he kind of took over. He's got his own label. It's got a little birds on it, different colors. I mean, he's got Côte de Rhone, Côte de Rhone Village, all the way up to Chateauneuf de Pop. But his entry level Côte de Rhone has been doing really well for me. It's like $12 on the shelf. Banffy's got a little Rosso that we've been selling a lot of, that Sasso. It's Cab Sangiovese blend. It's 12. I've got that section I call 12 under 12. So I've always got two whites and a rosé, and then I have 9 reds. They're all over the world. I've got, I'm trying to think what we got in. Definitely have Spain in there right now. I've got a Beaujolais Superior. So yeah, just stuff like that. I mean, just whatever I can find. That it's pretty consistent here lately, but as you know, things sell out at good prices and then they're gone. And so and sometimes I get a good deal on a closeout and just everybody wins, but those are rare these days.
No, I know. And I know it for me, looking for wine at good prices. All right. So one more thing I want to ask you. One of the things that at least we've seen, quote unquote, from the experts, is that the independent retailer has really become more important during the pandemic over the last 18 months. From what you've said so far, Chris, that seems to be the case with you guys. Is that kind of what you see? I mean, you notice a big difference among your customers?
Yeah, more definitely support. I mean, before I always thought I was a little bit of the community, but now I really feel like that we've stepped up and people are calling and looking for stuff for, now that people are having events, we're getting more of that, of people like, oh, my friend having a wedding with 20 people. And we've done, I think we had two of those last weekend where they were, and then caterers, we've kind of latched on a couple of good caterers in town. And we kind of do some cross promotion with them. But yeah, it's been a changing time, but we've definitely adapted, I believe, very well. I mean, I had no idea if we were supposed to be open or closed, or it was crazy.
Well, Fort Worth was a little different than the rest than compared to Dallas back then, but we'll skip over that for the moment. Hey man, no, listen, Chris, thank you so much. No, that you guys have been there in that location for longer than I care to remember speaks, I think, a whole lot to the good job that you do. Listen, thank you very much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Look forward to sharing a bottle of wine sometime.
Yeah, no, I'll get in the car. I'll go to Fort Worth. I got to go over there anyway. There's a bunch of stuff. I think I got to go get a hat. I think that's the other thing I got to do. I got to go downtown if they're open and go get another hat.
Okay.
So listen, thank you again, Chris. Thanks everybody for listening. This is Jeff Siegel, the Wine Curmudgeon. So long until next time.